chapter 32. Verses 3 and 4 tell us this: because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Father, we come before you now because we want to have you speak to our hearts from your word. And Father, we would ask that your truth might permeate our lives, that it might be the source of our service to thee. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're all supposed to be the children of God. And if we are, then we should demand truth in everything we do and are a part of. Everything. But are we really fixed upon the truth? Or are we letting those who would pervert the truth be successful in putting forth lies about what's really happening, what's going on in our society, how we are supposed to respond to various situations? This past week, I heard on a news broadcast, and I don't remember which one it was, that there was a congressman who had gotten into great trouble for saying there were but two kinds, men and women. Our government, the ones you and I elected, I believe there's 84 kinds. I don't know what number three is, but I don't want to know. You know, today, truth is very uncommon. If we were to couch it in the same words as the Bible, it would be very precious because there's so little of it. We're lied to almost every time by those who do not know the truth of God. They can't tell the truth. They are under the domination of their father, the devil. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, that they were of their father, the devil. And so, folks, we're living in a society. We're a minority. Didn't used to be that way, but we are. Today, we are a minority who propose to speak the truth. As a pastor, I'm concerned about all of the sheep of this flock. And I want to be sensitive if you're being told falsehoods by our society, by our presses, by the people who are proposing to tell us what is supposed to be news. There was a time when truth was expected among everyone. And today, we cannot expect that. That's of concern to me, and I'm sure it's of concern for you. Because everyone who is born again are a part of the body of Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of this body of Christ. And that's what the church is. It is the body of Christ on this earth. And as the body of Christ, we are supposed to propose and we are supposed to support truth. And so I want us to think together this morning a little bit about all that's going on in the world around us and where we are and where we are supposed to be. Next week, I'm going to start a series. You know I like series. I'm going to start a series based on 1 Corinthians 14:40. Anybody know what that verse says? Let all things be done decently and in order. And we're going to look at a lot of different all things over the next few weeks because that affects every one of us. And every one of us should be living by this book. We should be reading it every day so we know what it says. And then we should be obeying it, applying it to our lives. For decades now, people in government have been lying to us about the truth and what constitutes the truth. We have been told that this nation was never intended to be a Christian nation, and that is an outright lie. This nation started as a Christian nation. It was started by pastors, by men who believed they needed to be born again and who were born again. This nation was started by men who believed this book. And they published this book. Did you know that the Bible was the first book that the United States Publishing Group did? It was printed after the Constitution was signed. And it was distributed to all the people who wanted one. But it was also put in all of the schools, and it became the textbook for reading. Children had to memorize verses. And that's what this country was founded upon. For 200 years, this is what this country believed and practiced. And then in 1963, a group called the United States Supreme Court decided that children could not pray in school anymore, that was unconstitutional. And by 1967, 4 years later, they decided that children were acting illegally if they had silent prayer. Because some of the kids were still praying. Now, I know what the kids were praying about, because I used to pray too. I wasn't even a Christian then, but I used to pray about exams, final exams, you know. Lord, give me the answers I never studied, you know. Truth is very important. Because what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what we have to realize this morning is that he is the truth. For 200 years, we were a Christian nation, and we maintained the things that God said we were to maintain, and we did the things God said we were to do. But all that was changed in the 1960s. People wanted their sin, they wanted to be able to do their wrong things, and so the Bible made them uncomfortable. And so they wanted it out. They still want it out today. There's a phrase I'll bet every one of you have heard. And you have been told that it comes from the Constitution. It comes from the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. You've heard the phrase separation of church and state. You know where that comes from? It comes from Andrew Jackson in 1803 when he was saying that was the one thing God would not permit if we were to be successful as a country. And the Supreme Court picked it up, and it's almost as if it was written, but it's not. It's not true. Even that is a lie. And yet, we have been told it so many times that people are starting to believe it. Ask anybody out there on the street. Yes, there's a separation of church and state. No, there isn't. God never intended it. Textbooks are being changed today from teaching truth to what is called revisionist writing, which teaches falsehood, not the truth, in place of the truth. Actually, that's been going on for six decades now. Think about it, 60 years. And our children have no idea what the truth is. They don't understand history. If they understood history, then they'd be back to the truth again. And so we want to think of this morning about the truth and our part in that, because we all have a part. We are to be living lives by truth, not by some figment of somebody's imagination. When someone can get up and lie publicly about what went on and make it all up and stand by it when the truth is presented, I can't understand it. So it becomes our job. Yes, job, to make sure that truth is published. Now, we got a couple ladies here that do that every week, I hope, on our sign out front. That's a great medium, folks, for us to tell people the truth. Now, we can't get political, and we're not going to, but if you have something that you would like in the way of truth posted on that sign, let me know, because every week we put up new truth. And we're going to continue to do that until the Lord comes back, till the King comes. I would like for us to think about some of the things that Jesus said. Because that's why we're here. You're not here to hear what I say or what anybody else says. We're here to hear what Jesus said. And in Matthew 10, verses 26 and 27, Jesus made a statement to his disciples, to those who were following him, who became his apostles. He said in Matthew 10, 26 and 27, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." People, we don't have to be afraid of telling the gospel. We don't have to be afraid of telling people that Jesus loves them, that he died for their sin, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead to give them eternal life. And I would like us this morning to consider the relationship between us and the truth of God. In our opening scripture this morning, God is called the God of truth. And I believe that that is a very good description of who God is. The prophet Samuel told his people in Israel about what God wanted from them, and I believe that God wants the same thing from each of us. 1 Samuel 12, 23 through 24. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And I would ask you to do that this morning. Think about it. Think about where you are at right now. What God has done to bless you. What God has done to enable you to be his child, to be walking with him, to be looking for the King coming back. I'm so glad you played that song this morning. Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing? That he teaches us all the same thing. I talked to Faye this morning just before the service, and we were both thinking exactly the same thing. And wasn't that a coincidence, Jimmy? And in case you're new here, we don't believe in coincidences. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And he is the one who directs our lives. And if he's not directing your life, then you don't know Jesus, or you're not in fellowship with him. So I just trust that he is using you to accomplish God's will in the place where you're at. Now, here's a formula for our service to the Lord for this year to come. Because I want this year for each one of us to be the year of truth. To be the year of truth. Now, sometimes we don't want to face the truth. Like when I had the accident a few months ago and out here, it was my fault. I didn't want that. I didn't want anybody to know that. But it was. And so there are times when we have to accept the truth no matter what it is. Because that's God. And that's how God deals with each one of us. So, here's the formula for our activity for this next year. Psalm 105, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy. We were talking about mercy this morning in Sunday school. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Kids, you need to listen up. You do. Because God wants you to know the truth. Not what some textbook tells you. God wants you to know what this book tells you. The Word of God. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to understand. And so every generation, our children, us, our grandchildren, they will believe the truth when it's given to them, because Psalm 119, 151 tells us this, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. That's Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, we can't do what needs to be done by ourselves, but we have another promise from God, and that's in Psalm 145, 17 and 18. Turn there, if you will. I want you to see that promise. Psalm 145, verses 17 and 18. And that says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The Bible's full of truth. That's all it is. Israel made the same mistake with God and paid a terrible price for their mistake, which was total destruction in 70 AD. They walked away from the truth. They went into idolatry. Can you imagine anybody making something, putting it in their yard, and worshiping it as God? Connie and I spent several years up in the Northeast in New Jersey. And as you would drive through the neighborhoods, you would see statues of Mary in an inverted bathtub. It really wasn't an inverted bathtub, but that's what it looked like. And people would pray to her, worship her, and put her in the yard for good luck. And that's not our God. That's not the God that we worship. The God that we worship is the God of all truth. And he wants us to understand that and experience that. In Jeremiah 7:28, the prophet was talking to the people. He said, "But thou shalt say to them," God is talking to the prophet, "this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished." And when I saw that statement, I began to think of our country. This is not political in any way, folks. For there's no one party that are liars. Many. And both parties are involved in lying. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So, folks, we need to be sure that the input that we get is truth. We, you and I, comprise the Church of Jesus Christ. And as such, we have the power of God on our side. And the power of God is at our disposal to broadcast the truth. People don't know what to think today because they hear so many different stories, many different versions of everything. And we need to be consistent in that we give them the Word of God. We give them the truth. The track rack is full of gospel tracts. Take some. Give them out. You're giving out the truth every time you do that. And you know, it doesn't matter how many times a waitress might get a tract in her normal waiting on people, sometime she's going to stop and read it. Not just throw it away. She's going to think, why am I getting so many of these? Maybe I better look at this. And you'll be surprised. When you get to heaven, there'll be somebody there you recognize. Somebody you gave a gospel tract to. You didn't know her name, but she waited on you. Or maybe somebody will come to your home to do a repair of some sort, and you can hand them a gospel tract. And they may read it, they may not. But God wants you to give out the truth. So, how do we get this nation to go back to the truth? Well, we need to demand the truth from our representatives. They are our representatives, even though they don't represent us right now, many of them, they represent their own interest. They could care less about us. But we've got an opportunity. If you want to reach a senator, you can write the Senate Office Building in Washington, D.C., 20512 or 510, and it will get to them. Put the senator's name on it, it will get to them. If you want to write a representative, you can put his name on the Congressional House Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20510, and he will eventually get it. We need to let them know we want the truth. We do. If we expect to live in a country where the truth is the truth, then we need to let them know how we feel. So let this be the year when we make a difference, when we let our representatives know what we represent, not necessarily what they represent. The church of the early nation of this early nation was there. It was the source of the ideas that came together to form our Constitution and bylaws. We need to reemphasize that. In the Supreme Court building, I don't know how many of you have ever toured Washington. If you get a chance to take a tour of Washington, there are some really good tours. David Barton has a good tour for pastors, and he also has a tour for lay people. And you go into the Supreme Court room, and there across the back are, you see, not statues, but carved portraits of various people. And right in the middle, all of them are turned to the side, except for one, right in the middle, right there, where I can see it every time. That's Moses. The Ten Commandments. Yeah, the same Ten Commandments that they're saying nobody can have shown anymore. They can't. Children are not permitted to read the Ten Commandments in school because it might influence them. Yeah. Children are not permitted to read the Ten Commandments in school because it might have influence on them of morality. Rather than let them read the Ten Commandments, it's better for four of them to shoot some kid in the head while he's on his way home from track practice. Why does that happen? Because six decades ago, they snatched morality, they snatched prayer, they snatched the Bible out of school. Tell me any other book that will teach them morality. There isn't one. Even the Quran doesn't teach morality. Buddhas don't practice morality. So folks, we need to stand up and be heard. We need to bring truth back into our society. We need to be the source, because you are the source. You are God's ambassador in this country, in this community, to your next door neighbor. You're God's ambassador. So let's see what the Bible has to say. I'm running out of time. We're not going to get this whole message done today, or we're going to have supper here tonight. But anyway, let's see what the Bible might say about truth in our relationship to God. In Zechariah 8, 16 and 17, it says, "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates." That would be the modern day court system. Verse 17, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Now, you want to know why we can sit here this morning as we are, reading God's word, singing hymns to him, thinking about the King coming back? Because God is merciful to his people, not necessarily to all the others who don't know the truth anymore. So, John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Folks, cling to that. Hang on to him. Hang on to the truth that he wants. Do you see that was part of our Savior? He was full of grace and truth. John 4:23-24 says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And folks, that's what we're doing here this morning, because we are worshiping him according to this book. We are singing hymns that tell us the truth about him. Verse 24 of that verse says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, if you're here to worship God this morning, you should be worshiping him through the Holy Spirit that is in your heart, and you should be worshiping him in truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we have to, in truth, go to God and ask for forgiveness for things we have done in the past week. You don't have to do that here at the altar. You can do it in your home. You can do it right there where you're sitting. But the one thing that we must understand, let's make this year the year of truth. And the one thing that somebody might say about you is, "Wow, I don't want to be around her. She's going to tell you the truth." Or, "I don't want to be around him. He's going to tell me the truth." Folks, we must understand. We must be people of truth. And this is a good year for us to make sure that we get the truth out there in front of people. John 14:16-17, we'll close with this. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth," and that's who the Holy Spirit is, "whom the world cannot receive," understand this, "whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, rather knoweth him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you." This morning, everyone here who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, as the Holy Spirit living in their hearts. He is the Spirit of truth. And that's why our lives must radiate truth in this world in which we live, that they might have something to compare and see the truth. Father, we are so grateful that you are a God of truth, that you are a God who loves us and wants us to be not just filled with your Holy Spirit, but be filled with truth. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time together here this morning, when we can look at your word, when we can sing songs of praise to thee, when we can think about the fact that one day the King is coming back. Father, May Jesus come quickly. May we have the joy of meeting him in the clouds together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank you, Father, for that promise. Thank you for the fact that it's one day going to happen. May he come soon. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.